Good morning, everyone. Today's Daf in Nedarim is Tess Zion. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is Lonnie Zephyr, Nishmas Liba, Gabriela Bashmuel. We're beginning today on the Mishnah on the bottom of Tezvav Amud Beis. In the middle of the second parak of our Masechta, yesterday we spent a lot of time discussing making a neder and attaching a tanai to the neder. Machlokas Amarayim. If the tanai comes before the neder, are we all in agreement that the day of the tanai, you could do whatever you want? Even though you're triggering the neder, that's fine. As long as you don't violate the actual neder itself, the neder is the next day, you're not going to worry. Generally speaking, we're not worried that the person's going to violate a neder. If the neder is before the tanai, so in other words, the day of the neder is, like I described yesterday, Monday, and Tuesday is a trigger that triggers off the neder. So there we have a machlokus between the Amoraim, whether or not we are worried that although people are going to be very careful about the Yom HaNeder, people may not be as careful as the trigger day. And the Gemara spent most of yesterday discussing this machlokus between the Amoraim. Last thing the Gemara discussed yesterday, just a reviewing, the Gemara talked about the Mishnah scenario of when a man says to a woman that I'm not going to have tashmish with you. So he makes a neder that he's prohibiting tashmish. Now again, in the form of a neder, it's a little trickier because remember, neder has to come on a chefetz, cannot come on a person, but okay, that's a problem. But the Mishnah says that if you formulate such a neder, so he is in violation of Bal Yachal, meaning the neder is chal, it's a violation, the neder is a valid neder. Bothered the Gemara yesterday because she has a shibud on that neder, and to which the Gemara said yesterday that you're right, she has a shibud on that, meaning one of the marital obligations that a husband has to his wife is that he has to have tashmish with his wife. That becomes his responsibility, his obligation, and she has a shibud on that obligation. And we said yesterday that the Gemara said yesterday, so he can't make such a neder. So the Gemara says fine. So what he did is he formulated the neder where the focus is not on his tashmish to her, but his benefit of tashmish, meaning he's focusing on his isser. In other words, tashmish will be usher to him. And if he formulates it in that way, so technically it works, even though, again, it's a violation of the marital obligation, but there's a chalos neder because he's formulating in such a way where it's not, he is not prohibiting neder to her, he's prohibiting the benefit of neder onto himself. That's the...
So he's converted it into a shvuah.
Well, no... Meaning again, I understand we always, you're right, we always walk into that issue of whether it's a shvuah or a neder. Somehow he formulates in a way, the Gemara said yesterday, Hanas tashmeshecha alai, right? Your benefit is going to be prohibited to me. I guess somehow it's a focus more on the chavitz than on the act itself. Okay, your point is well taken, but somehow it formulates as a neder. So I pointed out yesterday a couple things, I only pointed out one thing yesterday. So number one, I pointed out that she has a shibud, and the Gemara says, well, if she has a shibud, that's it. And the Ran says, yeah, but I don't understand. It's not it. Meaning, even if she does have a shibud, which she does, and let's go back to the first point of the Gemara. The Gemara says that he formulated the neder in such a way where he said, I'm not going to provide for you tashmish mita, that will be usher to you. And the Gemara says, yeah, but she has a shibud. So the Ran says, okay, and so she does. So what? Meaning, we know the halacha is that there are certain things which break a shibud. One of those things that break a shibud is carbon. Carbon breaks a shibud. So this is a neder, and neder is tantamount to a carbon, so therefore it should break a shibud. So the Ran said yesterday, that's the first chiddush of the Ran that we saw yesterday, that yeah, normally carbon breaks a shibud, but there are certain shibudim which the chachamim fortified. They gave like kind of a reinforcement on top of that, so that the... it is a unbreakable shibud even with a karban. And one of those shibudim that the chachamim fortified is a shibud of the husband's obligation to his wife. That's a shibud, a fortified shibud, a reinforced shibud, and so therefore it cannot be broken by a neder that he makes. That's one point that the Ran said yesterday that we went over together. Another point which we did not go over, and I want to like to go over very quickly, the im tomar. So the Gemara, I'm sorry, we're in the Ran. I'm reading from the Ran inside. I'm towards the bottom of the Amud on Tezvav Amud Beis, where two more points we're going to go through together in the run. It is the first really wide line of the run. It's the middle of the line. The Intamar Vahai Hai Nidra Drabanu Hu Danas Tashmish Les Be Mashasha Mamasha. Okay, so the run's bothered. I don't understand. How can we call this a neder? It's not a neder. It's not going on a. It's not going on a chayf. It's going on tashmish. Tashmish is an act. It's not an item. V'lekel amemar de ba'omer konim gufei chalach mi tashmish askinan da adomi de shani yashan shani medaber ketanila. So it can't be, because if you look where it's located in the Mishnah, it's located in the same Mishnah of not sleeping, not talking. Those are intangible items.
Right.
So tashmish also is an intangible item. V'lekel revina b'val yachem adarabana v'kevin de medarabana ba'amahu heichechal nidro delay delay thela medarabana ba'amalaf kui mitzvot onas umitzvot period of arivia. So now, what did we say yesterday? And it's just good to review, because we need this information for today's daf as well. And what did we say yesterday? Ravina said that our Mishnah is not, you're right, our Mishnah is not talking about real nedarim that are effective on a Torah level. It only is effective on a rabbinic level. And yes, the Gemara said yesterday, there are nedarim that are effective on a rabbinic level, and this being one of them. So, we said yesterday that these nedarim in our Mishnah are effective, albeit only on a rabbinic level. To which now, the Ran says, we're talking now about a neder midrabbanan. And now, what are we talking about? Intimacy between a husband and wife? Mitzvah's ona? That's a mitzvah for a husband to be with his wife? Period of arivia? Mitzvah to procreate? We're talking about serious mitzvahs over here. How can a neder, which we said yesterday, is only a neder midrabanan, go ahead and override these very serious mitzvahs? So yesh lama kevin de nidra miyachayel, mimela pakele hanach mitzvahs de chachamim masnin la'akor davar min ha-Torah b'shev al-tase. So the Ran gives an interesting answer. You have to say something. So the Ran does, and the Ran says, well, we know we have a general rule that the chachamim have the power to uproot that which is written in the Torah. B'sheva al-tase, passively. So through passivity, so the chachamim can legislate and even uproot things in the Torah. So this neder has a, even though it's a din d'rabbanan, and even though it only has a rabbinic quality to it, nevertheless, this neder can uproot the mitzvahs in the Torah, because by abstaining from not having relations with his wife, that's sheva al tase, that's passivity, and a din d'rabbanan can uproot a mitzvah in the Torah. Here, the mitzvah of ona, the mitzvah of peruvu, it can uproot it through a passive, through passivity. Understood. But him shirking his obligation means he does nothing. Which the Chachamim, again, have that power. They have that koach to do that. Okay, so that's another point within the Ran, which, again, just it's very straightforward, but you need to say something. And the last point, the Ran says, okay, now we're going to go over this point again today, in today's daf, so it's great to go over right now. And that is the following. The Ran says, once again, let's explore this a little bit better. He makes a neder that he's not going to be with his wife. Okay. He also has a mitzvah to be with his wife. It's a mitzvah obligation to be with his wife. We're going to see this today. It's going to be one of the centerpieces of today's daf, and that is mitzvah lav lahenas nitnu. When we're given mitzvahs in the Torah, we're not getting benefit from it. Now, when I say we're not going to get benefit from it, when you're sitting in your sukkah, I understand if the weather's hot outside, it's not enjoyable. But when you're sitting in the sukkah, it's wonderful. Someone blowing the shofar and the sound that he's producing is a beautiful sound. Once again, that's wonderful. Sounds great. It doesn't matter. In other words, when we're doing a mitzvah, the primary focus and goal in doing a mitzvah is doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. And so therefore, any hana that we get out of it is ignored. Meaning, it's not benefit. It's not considered hana. So the Ran says over here, you made a neder that you're not going to be with your wife. Okay, congratulations. And the neder is chal, like the Mishnah said. Once again, congratulations. On the other hand, however, you have a mitzvah to be with your wife. So can we employ the rule of mitzvahs lav lahenos nitnu? And if we employ that rule, so then by you being with your wife, so you're not violating the neder. Because the neder is, I'm not going to get benefit. Yeah, but I'm not benefiting, I'm doing a mitzvah. Can't the fact that it's a mitzvah override the concept that override the violation of the neder? This is how the Ran formulates the question. Now the answer is pretty intuitive, but let's see how the Ran formulates it. Yeshlamar dechi amrin a mitzvah lav lahenas then no hanemilalamar sheinkiyam a mitzvah chashav hana. So the Ron says what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to seriously correct our understanding of this principle. The principle of mitzvahs lav lehenos nitnu means that the fulfillment of a mitzvah is not a hana. Meaning that you wake up on Sukkot morning, you take a lulav and esrog, you give yourself a pat on the back. Yay, I did a mitzvah, which is great. But that itself doesn't qualify as hana. After 120 years, when we arrive at the Olam HaEmes, so we're going to get rewarded. But there, you can't call the performance of a mitzvah a hana. Ava mikom akom imitani gufi behadid demekai mitzvah hana mikre. But the Ron says, but if you're physically benefiting while doing a mitzvah, you can't ignore the physical benefit while doing a mitzvah. The Ron says, I'll give you a perfect example of this idea, that you can't ignore the physical benefit that you receive. Let's say that there's a wellspring, and you say, I'm making a neder, I'm not going to go into that wellspring. Done. I've had it. I've had it with that particular wellspring. Okay, and then what happens is your tummy, now you need to go into a mikvah. So great, no other water source around, it's that wellspring that you made a neder. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, here's the halacha. Halacha is that in the wintertime, when it's good and cold, and you're going to now go into that wellspring, and you have no interest in going to that wellspring, and it's only going to make you wetter and colder, so in the wintertime you can go into that wellspring. Okay, because why are you going into that wellspring? Not to benefit, but to tovel in the mikvah and to be taller. However, if it's the summer and you're hot, and going into that wellspring will provide for you two benefits. Number one, you're going to become tahor. Number two, it's going to cool you down. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says you cannot go in. Why not? I'm only going into the wellspring in order to get a tahara. Right, that's my primary purpose. I'm doing a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to be tahor. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you can't do it in the summertime because you can't ignore the physical benefit that you get from going into that wellspring. So the Ron says, same thing over here. Even though, yes, a husband is bound by a mitzvah to be with his wife, and that's true. And yes, it's true, mitzvah lav lehenos nitnu, that's also true. But you can't ignore the physical benefit that a person receives when he's with his wife. And so therefore, being with his wife would be a violation of the neder. It still would be considered hana. Okay, those are important points that that we went over together in the Ron. Okay, three really important points, three chidushim of the Ron. Let's start with the next Mishnah. Mishnah is on the bottom of Tezvav Amud Beis. Shvur she'eni yashan she'eni medaber she'eni mahalach. Okay, this is a contrasting Mishnah. Right, if you remember yesterday's Mishnah, you turn back the page to Tezvav Amud Aleph. So, sorry, all the way back to Yidal Amud Beis. Konim. Konim she'eni yashan she'eni medaber she'eni mahalach. So the previous Mishnah dealt with konim. Konim, of course, meaning a kinui. It's a nickname for a carbon. Carbon meaning nether. That's the previous Mishnah. Our Mishnah now is focused on Shvua. Shvua She'eni. And I'll just make the point once again, and that is Aran's point, that when you read our Mishnah, you have to read the She'eni with a Yud. Meaning in the previous Mishnah, it's konim She'ani Yashen and She'ani Medaber. Here, it's Shvua She'eni. Why does that Yud make all the difference? Because we're talking about Shvua. And let's go over the point that we're going to hear again and again throughout our Masechta, and that is that Shvua is going on you. Neder is going on an item. The neder is making this item like a carbon to me. So the neder is on a chefetz. Shvua is on the person. So therefore, grammatically, the Ron says it's better when we're talking about shvua to use the word eini. Shvua she'eini yashen. A shvua that I will not sleep. As opposed to, and the right, sha'ani yashen. Konim sha'ani yashen. Now, again, yesterday, the Gemara did struggle with trying to figure out how exactly that's a neder, but I'm just speaking now from the grammatical standpoint, the eini is a better language that fits in with the word shvua. Shvua sha'ani yashen, sha'ani medabi, sha'ani mahalach, aser. So now aser meaning you've created a valid shvua, because shvuas can go on intangible items, because shvua is not on an item, shvua is on you. You say you're not going to sleep, that's a valid shvua. Now, yes, it's true, we did point out already that if you make a shvua of not sleeping with no term at the end of it, so that's not a shvua, it's impossible. That's a shvua shav. So obviously when the Mishnah says, I'm not going to sleep, obviously the Mishnah must be talking about today, tonight. In other words, there must be some sort of term written to it. And it has to be. Right. So shvua she'eni yashen, she'eni medaber, she'eni mahalach, aser. So all these now become valid shvuas. Karban lo ochalach. Ha karban she'ochalach lo karban, lo ochalach mutter. If he said the language of, and now without a chaf, meaning the chaf adimyon would obviously make this into a neder, right? And we made this point at the end of the first parak. If you say ki karban, so that's a neder. That's a hatfasa. What I'm doing is I'm comparing A to B. B is a karban. I'm saying ki karban. This should be like that. So obviously that would be an effective neder language. But we're not talking about nederim right now. He says, karban lo ochalach, or ha karban sha'ochalach, or lo karban lo ochalach. In all these cases, it would be mutter. Why? Because without the chaf, even if he adds other prefixes, in other words, here we have a hey added, but without the chaf, it's not a dimyon, it's not a comparison, it's not a hatfasa, so he's trying to make a shvua. Now, how does that work if you're trying to make a shvua using the word karban? By the life of a karban, I'm not going to eat. That doesn't, meaning from a shvua standpoint, that's not a shvua. You can make a shvua, right, that you're not going to eat, but by the life of a karban, that's just simply not a proper terminology for a shvua. So the Mishnah therefore says, it's not good, it doesn't work. Okay, and it doesn't matter, says the Mishnah, whether you say in the positive, whether you say in the negative. Meaning, just to review the three cases of the Mishnah. Karban lo achalach. By the life of a karban, I'm not eating from you. Again, because he's using the word karban, it's just not effective language for shvua. Ha karban sha'ochalach. What you're eating is a karban to me. Once again, he's not using the chaf adimyon. And lo karban lo ochalach. Right, the double negative. It's not a karban what you're not eating. Right, implied in that is what you are eating is a carbon to me. But once again, he doesn't use a chaf adimyon, therefore it's not a neder, and it's not a valid language for shvur. Go ahead. It's a good time to pause.
Instead of saying kik korban, you say korban, that doesn't work. But konam works.
But konam is a kinui. Meaning it's an understood derivative language, which means that I'm now formulating a neder.
In other words,
correct. Meaning, I'm thinking out loud right now. You're right. We had a machlokas earlier in the Pesach between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. How does kinuyim work? So it's either just the word carbon in another language, or it's manufactured language. It fits in a little bit better if it's manufactured language. Manufactured language means that the Chachamim actually developed a language that people mean neder. So that works a little bit better. According to Rav Yochanan, who says that it's other languages, then I think your question is good. Meaning, I had a hard time expressing why saying konam, which is just another word for carbon, why that's good, but the word carbon by itself is not. Yeah, that's good. That's a good question. Okay. Mani masnisim, we're on the top of Tezayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara is bothered by what seems to be the inconsistency of the Mishnah. Mani masnisim Rav Meir Hidi Rav Yehuda Loshan Le Karban Loshan Le HaKarban. So the Mishnah seems to be going like Rav Meir, because according to Rav Yehuda does not make a distinction whether you say carbon or you say the word HaKarban. Ema Seifa. La karban lo ochalach mutter. So, but then when you go on to the next case of the Mishnah, the la karban, so that would be mutter v'atanan la karban lo ochalach rameir oser v'amrab aben nasi karmer la karban yehei. So lefichach lo ochalach. So the prefix la, according to Rav Meir, would make it a valid karban. It's as if you're saying, Rav Meir says that it's aser. V'amr Rabbi Abba Nasik ka'omer li karban yehei. It's like you're saying this should be like a karban. Lefichach lo ochalach, therefore I'm not going to eat it. So lo kasha hadamar lak. I'm sorry. Hada amar li karban. Hada amar la. Lo le karban, the lo havi karban kamar. So the Gemara makes a very fine distinction over here. We've talked about this before. If I say le karban with a shva underneath and not with a patach underneath, so what I'm saying is this is a karban, as opposed to saying la karban with a patach underneath is a contraction of lo le karban, meaning the lo havi karban, that it should not be a karban. Okay, so a very fine distinction between a li with a lama with a shva underneath and a lama with a patach underneath. Okay. Shvua lo ochalach, hashvua sha'ochalach, lo shvua lo ochalach asar. Okay, so The Our Mishnah now turns its attention to a very standard shvua, very standard form of shvua, and Our Mishnah describes the following. If I make a shvua, and I use the word shvua, which again is an excellent indication that we're talking about a shvua, and my shvua is lo ochalach, I'm bound by a shvua that I will not eat anything of yours. So once again, that's a valid shvua because you're focusing on you. Good. Ha shvua she'ochalach, lo shvua lo ochalach, aser. If I say by shvua that which I eat by you, lo shvua lo ochalach, I'm making a shvua of that which I don't eat from you. So all these cases, aser would be aser. So mechlal da shvua she'ochalach, lo achil namashma. Okay. Now, so far so good. The Mishnah gave us a number of permutations in which it's clear in the Mishnah that you made a shvua, and therefore there's going to be a valid shvua. When you say the words hashvua she'ochalach, what does that mean? So in our Mishnah, what it meant very clearly is that by shvua, that which you eat, and they're going to have to fill in some of the blank. And some of the blank is by shvua, that which you eat is prohibited to me, meaning I'm not eating it. That's clearly the intent of the person, that's clearly the intent of the Mishnah. The lo achil mashma. Viriminu. Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem. Problem is, let's learn together now the Mishnah Shavuos. Mishnah Shavuos starts off like this. Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba. Two Shavuos in the Torah, which actually opens up to four Shavuos. She'ocha v'shelo, I'm sorry. Yeah. She'ocha v'shelo ochel. She'achalti v'shelo achalti. In the world of Shavuos, you could talk about future, you could talk about past. You could say, by Shavua, I'm not going to eat your food. You could say by Shavua, I will eat your food. Both of those are valid Shavuos. You could say in the past, I did eat that loaf of bread. You could say by Shavua, I did not eat that loaf of bread. Now the past is a little bit trickier because either you did or you didn't. And so either your Shavua, either you're just simply saying something which is correct. Another possibility, of course, is that you're lying. But let's not talk about the past. Let's talk about the future. In the future tense, the Mishnah over there says, I can make a shvua, either I'm going to eat that loaf of bread, or I'm going to make a shvua that I'm not going to eat that loaf of bread. So, midikamar shelo ochel she'achalti v'shelo, I'm sorry, midikamar shelo ochel she'achalti v'shelo achalti mechlal de she'ochelach de'achil namashma. I'll tell you the problem, this says the Gemara. The problem is very simple. It's clear from that Mishnah that when I say lo ochel, it means I'm not going to eat that bread. And when I say ochel, it means I will eat that bread. So when you say the word ochel or she'ochel, let's be a little bit more specific, what you're saying is, I will eat. Now, that's what comes out from the Mishnah Shavuos. So we have over here now a very simple problem. We're comparing the Mishnah Shavuos to our Mishnah here in Nedarim. Our Mishnah in Nedarim, look up a couple lines, the Mishnah says, ha-shvua she'ochel lach. Our Mishnah says that's one of the ways that a person can articulate a shvua by saying hashvua she'ochel lach. That which you eat shvua, meaning again fill in the blanks. That which you eat by shvua, I'm bound by shvua that I'm not going to eat. Okay. Meanwhile, the Mishnah in Shavuot says that when I say a language of she'ochel, implied in that is I am going to eat. So the question is very simple. When you say she'ochel, does it mean positively I will eat? Or she'ochel, like our Mishnah says, no, I'm not going to eat. Amar Abaye. And to this Abaye says, the word she'ochel by itself is ambiguous. And what do you need in order to understand what it means? Contextual clues. Context clues are important from taking a test to just understanding what people mean when they talk to you. Contextual clues. Sometimes the person means exactly the opposite of what he's saying. It's called sarcasm. And how do you know sarcasm? You have to look at his face, at his features. In other words, context clues. And so the Gemara says, the word she'ochel, oddly enough, is one of those words which is ambiguous. And you need the contextual clues in order to tell you whether he means it as a positive or as a negative. Amar Abaye. She'ochel shtei loshonos mashma. Hayu misarvin bo lecho v'amar achilna achilna. So let's say, and I'll use a Jewish mother as an example. New, come in, come eat, let's go. And you say, achilna achilna. Okay, no problem at all. I'll eat. And the mom is pressuring the kid. Let's go, let's eat. And the kid says, yeah, I'm getting right to it. So, and then, what does he say? Mom, don't worry. Shvua she'ochel. In other words, you're worried that I'm not going to eat? Shvua she'ochel, making sure that I will eat. Okay, so, with mom on your back, and you're agreeing, yes, you're right, of course I'm going to eat. And then you end up with the worst shvur shochel. So the contextual clues tell you that what you meant is, yes, I will eat. That means I'm ready to eat. But let's say mom is pestering you, no eat. And you say, no, thank you, I'm not good, no, it's good, I'm fine, no, thank you. And you say, and then you say, repeat again, and finally, after saying no, and apparently mom is not getting the message yet, that you're not interested, and you say, shvua she'ochel, so once again, the context clues are telling you that what you're saying is, no, really, no here means, no, shvua she'ochel, I'm making a shvua that I'm not going to eat. The lo'achim l'kamar. Okay, so this is Abaye says, contextual clues is what you need, the word she'ochel by itself is ambiguous, and the context clues are going to tell you which way to go. By the way, just as a point of fascination, meaning we're talking about now the utterance of a shvua, and we're talking about now that you are bound by the Torah to either do or not do a certain thing. And the word of she'ochel, according to Abaye, can really go either way, and really your intent is going to be all determined by the contextual clues. It's just fascinating that right, you are going to be bound by a mitzvah in the Torah, an isser in the Torah, and really all that's going to steer you in one direction or another is only going to be the contextual clues. Rav Ashi Amar she'ochel deshvua she'yochel kamar. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Rav Ashi gives a different answer. Rav Ashi does not buy into Abaye's answer. Rav Ashi does not like the idea that contextual clues really makes all the difference in the world between yes versus no. Hard to imagine. Rav Ashi says that when you say the word she'ochel, it's really a contraction of she'i ochel. Kamar, im kem shita. So the Gemara says, well, and by the way, and this is pretty clear from the Ran, meaning it's more than just a contraction of the word she'i ochel. You actually are saying the word she'i ochel, meaning you're kind of swallowing it up into one word, but your pronunciation is she'i ochel. She'i means I will not eat. That's Rav Ashi's explanation of our Mishnah. Meaning the word she'ochel by itself means I will eat, like we would all think. If you say she'i ochel, even though you kind of like put it into one word, that, says Rav Ashi, means I will not eat. That's what our Mishnah is talking about. So im kem shita ma'la meimra. So the Gemara says, really, Rav Ashi, what an interesting answer. Then what's the chiddush of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that if you say she'i ochel, that's the shvua that you're not going to eat. Okay, that's pretty obvious. And generally speaking, I mean, this is one of the backbones of all of Mishnayos. The Mishnayos are interested in giving us chidushim. The Mishnah is not telling us something which is self-evident. So ma'u detema mekem lishnehu di takalei. So kamash malan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I might have thought that when I said she'i ochel, really me'ekem lishnei, it's a distortion of the language, meaning I really mean the word she'ochel. I really meant the word she'ochel, just didn't come out clearly with articulation. Okay. Abayim alo amar tam k'Rav Ashi, delo k'tani she'ochel. And the Gemara now goes back and forth over why Abaye doesn't like Rav Ashi and why Rav Ashi doesn't like Abaye. So we start off with Abaye. Abaye doesn't buy into Rav Ashi because that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah does not say the word she'i ochel. Rav Ashi, nade min tam da Abaye. Rav Ashi is repulsed by Abaye's answer. You don't find that normally in the Gemara, the word nade, right? Nidui. It's like, it's repulsive to him. It's a nadarim terminology. So Rav Ashi, nade min tam da Abaye, kasav shalo ochel nami mashmash te loshonos. Because Rav Ashi says, according to you, Abaye, where the word she'ochel is ambiguous, so according to you, Abaye, you know what? If yes means no, then no can mean yes. Meaning, according to you, Abaye, if you're telling me that there's ambiguity in language, and yes can mean no, so I can give you a scenario where no can mean yes. For example, so let's say they're pressuring you, right? Mom's saying, okay, Nu, let's go, let's eat. You haven't eaten all day. You haven't eaten since lunch. So, and you say, no. And you say, shvua, I make a shvua. And whether you say she'ochel, or even if you say shelo ochel, so Rav Ashi says to Abaye, you know what that can mean? Hadein achil la mashma. It means that you're really interested in eating. The Amar, I'm sorry, the Amar. The Ikanam, the truth is Nam Lishna Shvur, Shalochel Shvur, the Loachel Kamar. And Shalochel, I'm sorry, let me say it like the Ron. What does that mean? Shalochel means the I'm ready to eat. Meaning, again, it could mean that Shalochel means, Mom, you don't think I'm going to eat? Of course, right? Next statement we're going to fill in. Of course I'm going to eat. Meaning, according to you, this is Ravashi's distaste with Abaye's explanation. According to you, Abaye, when you say the word she'ochel, well, based on the context, it could mean I'm not going to eat. She'lo ochel, also based on context, could mean I am going to eat. And then basically we've lost all definition of words. If everything becomes ambiguous and everything becomes now, well, let's base it on context. So Rav Ashi says, I'd like to have a much crisper and cleaner definition of what words mean. That's Rav Ashi's basic retort. And also, shalo ochel could also, of course, mean I'm not going to eat. And so the therefore Rav Ashi says ochel means or she'ochel means I am going to eat, and she'ochel means I'm not going to eat. What about our Mishnah? So again, let's go back and review Rav Ashi's answer. Rav Ashi says that our Mishnah is talking about she'i ochel. That's how you're going to have to read our Mishnah. Okay. I'm going to go over one point, and then we're going to start with the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah is really one of the highlights of today's daf, but let's just go over one important point. And that is, what did we learn back in our Mishnah? Okay, so again, our Mishnah says that the words, that if I make a shvuah, using the word shvuah, so it is a valid shvuah, and therefore I'm bound by that shvuah. And the Gemara spent some time discussing, when our Mishnah says the word she'ochel, how can that be a shvuah? How can that mean, by shvuah, I'm not going to eat? So again, Abaye says that the word she'ochel has an ambiguity, a built-in ambiguity, and the context is going to steer us in the right direction of whether it means yes or no. Rav Ashi says no. Our Mishnah, she'ochel, is really when the person says she'i ochel. Otherwise, she'ochel means I'm going to eat. There is, however, a problem which I didn't explain, which I didn't discuss yet, and the Ron discusses it over here. Look at the last case of the Mishnah. The last case of the Mishnah is the double negative. Lo shvua, lo ochel lach. It's not a shvua, that which I don't eat from you. Okay, so the double negative, what does that tell us? So in every double negative, two negatives equal a positive. It's true in math. It's true in language. And it's not always true in math. You have to multiply two negatives. But the to a double negative is a positive. So shalo ochel lach is, I'm sorry, lo shvua shalo ochel lach means that what you do eat is a shvua. And what does that mean? That whoever's the author of our Mishnah has to subscribe to the rule of mechal lav atashamehain, that we can infer the positive from the negative. What has been drilled into our heads since the beginning of the Masechta? Whoever's the author of our Mishnayos doesn't subscribe to the rule of Michlal Lav Atashamehain. And so, you notice that after having read the Mishnah, having gone through the entire Gemara, it's not a lot of Gemara, you'll notice that the Gemara didn't say a peep about this. The Gemara wasn't bothered by the fact that one of the cases brought down in our Mishnah a double negative statement implying the positive. And the Gemara's like, fine, that's fine. What do you mean that's fine? Did you notice that every other Mishnah that we've learned since the beginning of the Masechta, now it is subject to a debate, but all the time we've been saying that the author of the Mishnayos does not subscribe to the rule of Michlal Lavat HaShemayin, and yet in our Mishnah doesn't say anything. The Ran is bothered by this very question, and the Ran offers the following answer. Start from Umasnitsan Rab Meirhi. In the Ran, it's on the left side of the Amud. I'm halfway down on the page, and I'm starting with the line that starts with the words Delamid. You know, with the little chip check over there. So Umasnitsan, the last two words of that line. Umasnitsan Rabbi Meirhi. The author of our Mishnah is Rab Meir. The Leif Le Mechlalav Atashamehin. Rab Meir does not subscribe to this idea that you infer the positive from the negative. Okay, so afilu hachi b'shvuah aser. Nevertheless, that is true when it comes to Nedarim. But it's not true when it comes to Shavuah. Meaning, here comes an interesting point. When dealing with Nedarim, so Reb Meir subscribes to this idea that I can't infer the positive from the negative. When it comes to Shavuos, I can. Even according to Reb Meir. Why should that be? So let's see this together inside. When does Reb Meir say that I'm not implying the positive from a negative, from a double negative? That's only going to be when it deals with monetary aspect. Or isurim that have monetary aspect attached to it. Meaning if money's at stake, and there's a financial gain or loss to anybody, you have to be as clear as day. You can't use the double negative language and then imply the positive from the double negative language. That's true by money, and it's true with iser that has a money attached to it. Like, for example, nedarim. Because a neder, remember, neder is not a you issue. Neder means this item now to me is like a carbon. Okay, so it's a neder is an iser with money attached to it. Avabi isur agreda islay, but if it's just iser, so then even Reb Meir will imply the positive from the double negative. Onedarim, and here the Ron spells it all out. Onedarim di isur is be mamona ninu mishum dolam mishkacha behu below cheftza. Because again, let's go over what we said time and again, that when it comes to a neder is always going on an object. It's going on a chefetz. Da'ein an chalal davishein bo mamish. Remember, it's one of the basic rules by Nedarim. Nedarim do not apply to intangible items. And so therefore, whenever dealing with a neder, there's always money attached to the neder. Therefore, according to Reb Meir, you must articulate not the double negative, but rather the positive. But when it comes to a shvu, shvu is just an iser. Because shvu is just me. I'm prohibiting me. And because it's just an iser, so therefore Reb Meir subscribes to the principle of Michal Lava Toshmehin. From the double negative, you learn the positive. Okay, very basic and important Ron discussing why it is that the Gemara is not bothered by implied languages in our Mishnah. Okay, here we go. Mishnah, we're on the bottom of Tezayin Amud Aleph. Zechomer b'shvuos mi b'nedarim. A stringency that we have in the world of Shavuah that we do not have by Neder. And that is V'chomer b'nedarim b'shavuos. And there's a stringency by Neder that you don't have by Shavuah. Ketzad. So the Mishnah here is going to give an example. Amar konim sukkah shani oseh. Lulav shani notel. Tfilin shani maniach. B'nedarim oser b'shavuos mutter. So let's say that, you see that sukkah over there? Neder. I'm making a neder on that sukkah. Now again, remember, what does neder mean? It's not me, it's the sukkah. The object. The sukkah itself is going to be prohibited to me. That sukkah will be like a carbon to me. Which, as a parenthetical note, I say this totally within parentheses. Very good. Right? The Gemara in sukkah says that a sukkah is very much like a carbon. In fact, there's a drasha that connects the two. Okay. Close parentheses. Okay. Sukkah... what I'm saying may have merit to it, but just I'll explain the Mishnah in simplicity. The sukkah is that sukkah is a neder. That sukkah, that lulav is I'm not going to get benefit from that lulav. Neither am I going to get benefit from that tefillin. There, your nedarim are chal; they are effective. However, bishvuos mutar. But if I make a shvuah, I am bound by a shvuah that I'm not sitting in sukkah. I'm bound by a shvuah that I'm not going to be putting on tefillin. No merit to it whatsoever. It's not a shvuah. She'enish ban la'avor al mitzvahs, because you cannot make a shvuah to violate the mitzvahs. Stay tuned. We're going to be discussing this basic distinction as we start the Gemara on Tetzayin Amud Beis. We're starting the Gemara Chomer Mechlal de Nederhu. We start off first with a very technical question. And that is that we are comparing and contrasting shvuah and neder. Obviously, that's very clear. Now, if you look back at the previous Mishnah, meaning go to Tetzayin Amud Aleph and look back, not at the Mishnah we just did, but the previous Mishnah, Shvuah lo ochalach, right? Or Shvuah she'ochalach. And instead of saying the word shvuah, what do I replace with it? I replace it with the word karban. Didn't we say that's not good? Meaning, without the chaf hadimyon, if instead of saying shvuah, I say the word karban, that's no good.
The neder, I mean, say karban,
right. Chomer mechlal de nederhu, v'ha muter ketani. The Gemara is just bothered. It's a very technical question. But if I replace the word shvuah with just the word karban, that's not effective. So the Gemara says, "Asefa di idach bava katani, shvua she'eni yashen, she'eni medaber, she'eni mahalech aser." So the Gemara says, "You're right." Meaning, don't focus on the Mishnah on Tetzayin Amud Aleph, but rather you go back to the previous Mishnah. Meaning, look at the Mishnah on the back end of Tezvav Amud Beis, the Mishnah that we started with this morning, the Mishnah of shvua she'eni yashen, she'eni medaber, she'eni mahalech. That. So there, now if I, instead of using the word shvuah, I use some neder terminology, it's a neder. Now, as the Ron points out over here, it's only a neder midrabanan, but at least it's a neder. It is some form of a neder. So, okay, good. Just a very technical issue the Gemara is dealing with, and that is, when we're comparing and contrasting Shvuah and Neder, which Mishnah are we looking at? So the Mishnah, so the Gemara just simply said, not the previous Mishnah, but two Mishnahs ago. Okay. Ketzan. Rav Kahana Masni Am Rav Gidol Am Rav. Rav Tevyumi Masni Am Rav Gidol Am Shmuel. Just a slight discrepancy of whether Rav Gidol received this as a tradition from Rav or from Shmuel, but either way. Minayin Shenishban Lavor LaMitzvos. How come? Simple question, basic question. I can't make a shvuah about a mitzvah. Now, again, I know there's an intuitive nature to this. I understand. Meaning, the Torah tells me I gotta put on tefillin. But what's the source that teaches me that if I try to make a shvuah against a mitzvah, this shvuah just simply has no chalos, it doesn't have effectiveness? Meaning, what you could have argued is, what you did is absolutely wrong, but it's effective. How do I know that it's just simply not effective? Tamalamar layachel divaro. Because the Torah says when describing a shvuah, you cannot make profane your words. Meaning if it's something which is you and personal, so that means now that you're bound. But if it's chefzei shemayim, but if this is something that's not you and personal, but rather, Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded you to do that, that's not your business now, that's Hashem's business. Hashem's business, we no longer have a lo yechel devaro, meaning there's no shvuah whatsoever. Maishan nedu dechsev, so the Gemara says, okay, very good. Now, we're going to turn our attention to neder. Now, what do we say when it comes to a neder? If I make a neder against that sukkah, and I say that sukkah to me is like a karban, so what do we say? That is a valid neder. Why? The Gemara says, ish ki yidur neder la Hashem lo yechel devaro. So shvu nami aksev, maishan neder, dechsev ish ki dor neder l'Hashem lo yachal devaro. Because when it comes to neder, the Torah says that if a man makes a neder l'Hashem lo yachal devaro, even if the neder is quote unquote to God or against God, there's still it's going to be a valid neder. Gemara says, okay, shvu nami aksev oishav shvu l'Hashem lo yachal devaro. So the Gemara says, well, if it's just based on the Pesukim, I have a Pasuk by Shavuos. The Pasuk says, Oishav HaShavua LaHashem. So if you're telling me that a neder is effective against the Sukkah and Tefillin and any mitzvah in the Torah because the Torah uses the word LaHashem, by Shavuos also the Torah uses the word LaHashem. So once again, we're asking such a basic question. How come it is that our Mishnah teaches us that when I make a shvuah against a mitzvah, it's an ineffective shvuah? How come when I make a neder against a mitzvah, it's a valid neder? What's the difference? Gemara is going to articulate this. We're going to see Abaye, we're going to see Rava. Each one is just sharpening the other. Amar Abaye. Had Amar Hanasukah Alai. Had Amar Shvuah Shelo Ene Minasukah. So Abaye says, look, here's the difference. When you make a neder, you say, Hana'as Sukkah Alai. The benefit of that sukkah is upon me. As opposed to when you make a shvuah, what you're saying is, Lo'ehne Minasukkah, I'm not benefiting from the sukkah. Let's see the Ran together inside, and the Ran goes on to explain. The Ran is about two-thirds of the way down, starting from the beginning of the Ran. Klomar, Svarahu. So, Da'al Hashem lokai ashvua ela achid or neder. Mishim deneder bedin hu shiachol al dvar mitzvah, lefishu oser al atzmo, hana sukkah. So the Ran goes on to say like this. It's not really, this distinction between neder and shvua is not generated by the psukim, but rather it's generated by logic. Logic dictates. Because the Ran goes on to say, when you make a neder, what you're saying is, I'm not benefiting from the sukkah. And I don't have any type of vendetta against the mitzvah of sukkah. I love the mitzvah of sukkah. It's just that sukkah is going to be prohibited to me. So that he's allowed to say that. And once that sukkah now becomes prohibited to him, so ein ma'achilin. I'm sorry, ein ma'achilin sa'adim davar atzolo. You don't feed something to somebody which is prohibited to him. Meaning that sukkah is prohibited to him now. Avaloshon shvua haynu shlo eishav b'sukkah v'lo kol eimenu lafkiyatz ma'min mitzvah sukkah. But when you're making a shvua, what are you saying? I'm not sitting in the sukkah. No, you can't do that. That's a personal vendetta. That is saying, I'm not subscribing to the mitzvah of sukkah. I mean, you could say it, and you could feel that way. Okay, although obviously prefer not to. But in other words, from a shvua standpoint, then it has no validity because what you're saying is just patently against the Ratzon HaTorah, Ratzon HaBarei, Shu Mitzvah. You're commanded to send a sukkah. And now what are you going to say? No, by Shavuot, I'm not going to send a sukkah. It's not compatible with the fact that you're commanded. By an Eder, I'm not saying anything about me. I love sukkah. That sukkah is going to be prohibited to me because it's going on the Chafetz. Let's put it in very simple terms.
Not Shabbos.
Right. It goes back to the very fundamental distinction between Shvuah and Neder. Shvuah, it's on me. Neder, it's on an item. So when I'm making a Neder against the Sukkah, it's not me anti-Sukkah, it's me anti-that Sukkah. That Sukkah I'm not going to sit in. You want to find me another Sukkah? Right? I'll build another Sukkah, that's fine. It's that item is prohibited to me. Shvuah, I'm not sitting in a sukkah. That has no business, no bearing in halacha, because the Torah commands us to send a sukkah. That is a biased presentation. Let's just do Rava's response. Amar Rava, v'chi mitzvos lahenos nitnu. So Rava says, wait a second, we're talking about mitzvos over here. You don't get hana from mitzvos. Now this should sound familiar because the beginning of today's shiur, we went over this idea. Good, we're going to go over it now a second time. There's no hana that comes from a mitzvah, meaning, let's even say that you turn to that sukkah and you say, I'm not going to get benefit from that sukkah. So Rava says to Abaye, on sukkahs you could sit in that sukkah. Maybe during the rest of the year, if that sukkah is providing you some wonderful shade, maybe you're right, maybe not. But on sukkahs, why not? I'm not benefiting, I'm doing a mitzvah. I know this sounds familiar, goes all the way back to the beginning of today's shiur. I'm doing a mitzvah. Mitzvah's lav lahenas nitnu. The benefit I get from doing a mitzvah is not considered a benefit. So, El Amarava, so now, again, though, now that Rava poked a hole in Abaye's theory, so now we need an explanation. Why is it that a shvua is not chal on a mitzvah, but an eder is chal on a mitzvah? So Al Amar Rava, Had Amar Yeshivat Sukkah Alai, V'Had Amar Shvua She'elo Eishev B'Sukkah. So Rava says, here's the distinction. The distinction is the difference between saying Yeshivat Sukkah Alai versus Shvua She'elo Eishev B'Sukkah. What did he add? How is his formulation better than Abaye's? So once again, let's take a look together at the Ran, and we'll finish up today with a look at the Ran. I'm going to skip to the words V'im Tomar. In the Ran, you can find me 5 lines from the bottom of the Ran. It is the 5th word in the line. V'im Tomar. I feel like Yama Yeshiva Tzuk Alai Lama Aser B'Yeshiva Shal Mitzvah. V'akem in the Mitzvah. Lav Lahenos Nenu. Hare Eino Nena Minosukah Klal. The Ron said, what did Rava provide for us that Abaye didn't provide for us? Abaye says that a neder is going on an item. Rava says, who cares? You don't get benefit from doing a mitzvah. So Rava says, this formulation is better. And why? So that's an important question. Tirtzu betosfos. So the Ron quotes the Balei Tosfos. Remember, I told you. One of the things that we gain by the Ron, by learning the Ron together now, is that he quotes everybody. So he's quoting Tosfos. Then become a kum kevin she'asu yeshivasa alav, af al pi she'ein lo bo ein lo bo hana'a chal. Because what he's prohibiting to himself is yeshiva sa alav, the utility of the sukkah. And the alpha pisha in lo bo hana, even if he's not benefiting from it, the neder still stands. Let's see if I can explain this well. Okay, I'm going to try. And just give me 2 more minutes and hopefully I'll do a better job explaining. Rava says, look, if I just make a neder on the actual edifice of the sukkah, and I say that I'm not staying in the sukkah, so fine, so the neder is chal. But on sukkahs, you want to go sit in the sukkah, by all means, go for it. Because we have a concept, mitzvah slav lahenas netnu. My neder is only preventing me from getting benefit. Good. Year round, I won't get benefit. But on sukkahs, I have a mitzvah, and we know that mitzvah does not qualify as a benefit. And therefore, on sukkah, I can. However, Rava says, and this is Aaron's understanding of Rava. However, Rava says, if I am very specific, and I say, I'm making a neder that I'm not sitting in that sukkah, so you're not just talking about the edifice, but you're talking about the utility of that edifice, then that neder is going to be chal, even on sukkahs. Because what you're effectively saying is, I'm not using that building, period. It benefits me, it doesn't benefit me, I don't care. I'm not using that building. And once you speak about its utility, so then under any circumstances, even without benefit, you are bound by the neder not to be in that building.
So the concept of use turns into a neder, not a shibur.
Right.
Concept of use.
Meaning you still have to focus on the item, but you are articulating the utility of that item. Here, I'll read on in the run, because he does a good job, spelling this concept out. Ulefiza. Amar konam zrikat tzvor liyam, alav. Asar alfa pishen lo bezrikat tzvor hana. Let's say I have a stone and I say I'm not going to get benefit from the stone. But he's even clearer. He says, I'm not throwing that stone. Okay, so in other words, not only is he prohibiting the stone, but he's speaking out which action he's not going to be doing with that stone. So let's say he picks up the stone and he throws it into the ocean. Something that has no benefit to him whatsoever. Can't do it. Aser lezorko miodavka b'mefarish yeshiva sukkah zrikat tzur. The Ron goes on to say, now obviously that would mean that according to Rava, your neder only is going to work if you speak out the action point. Avaba omer konim sukkah alai konim tzur ze alai. But if you say, I'm making a neder against the sukkah, but without speaking about the utility, I'm going to make a neder against the stone without speaking about its utility. Yoshev Yeshiva Shal Mitzvah Vizdoriko Sot Sorosh and Esra Boliyam Imratza. You want to send the sukkah on sukkahs? Go ahead. You want to throw the stone into the ocean? By all means, go ahead. Because when you're speaking about an item and not mentioning it's how you're going to use the item, essentially what you're saying is, I'm not benefiting from the item. But any usage that's not a benefit, that's fine. Ron says, I'll give you a simple example. Let's say you declare an animal to be a carbon. Right? The prototypical neder. You make an animal into a carbon. Okay, you can touch the animal. That's fine. You can't benefit from the animal. But that doesn't mean hands off. Your negia would be a mutter. Hachanami, it's a stam achila v'ana mashma. Avakol shapirish l'esar l'atzma afila negia chayil. Okay, but if you speak out in the neder that here's what I'm not going to do, I'm not sitting in the sukkah, so then incorporated in your neder is even the act of sitting, even if that sitting doesn't provide for your benefit. Okay, that's the Ron's understanding of what Rava has gained for us and the fundamental difference between a neder versus a shvuah. Okay, let's just recap and we'll finish the rest of it tomorrow with the We'll get to the Mishnah tomorrow, and obviously, and hopefully beyond. Okay, today we started the Mishnah. Mishnah today introduced us to the concept of Shvuah, meaning comparing and contrasting Shvuah to Neder. We went through a number of examples of languages and Shvuahs that would work, that would be effective. A big idea that we learned today on the Amud Aleph is that the Ran says that even though Rameir does not subscribe to the idea of implying positive from a double negative, that's true when it comes to money or Isser that has money attached to it. But if it's just a standalone Isser, even Rameir would subscribe to the concept of implying the negative from the positive from the double negative. And then the second half of today's daf, we went through together a contrast of Shvuah versus Neder. You have a chumrah by neder that you don't have by shvuah, and that is a neder can fall on a dvar mitzvah. A shvuah cannot fall on a dvar mitzvah. And why should that be? So the Gemara formulated in one of two ways, either a bai or a rava. But either way you formulate it, essentially it comes down to the idea that a shvuah is on you, and neder is on the item. Shvuah, you cannot rewrite the Torah. Torah commands you to put on tefillin. You can't make a shvuah otherwise. However, a neder is going on an item, so you can say, I'm not sitting in that sukkah. Because it's going on the sukkah, it's not going on you. Okay, and again, a little more detail in terms of how exactly to formulate it, but that is the essential distinction.